Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read first of all verse 18. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you will, jump down to verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is so helpful. Thank you for including in the Bible Ephesians chapter 5. It sure helps us to know, dear God, how to have a good marriage, a biblical marriage. And so, Lord, as we talk to the men tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would help challenge each and every one of us to be better for our wives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. I brought this with me. And by the way, I didn't tell my wife about this, but if we can make up some of these before Sunday night, I'd like to get some of these made. We have blue ones. And we have yellow ones. I only brought the blue one. But this little card that I have here, we laminated it. But we've given these things out from time to time and said this is a good thing to just keep in your devotional Bible. And from time to time, men, it's good for us to pull this out and just read down through it. This one is a man's responsibilities towards his wife, biblical responsibilities towards his wife. There's 12 biblical responsibilities here, and I'm not going to go over this list tonight, although we will hit some of them. But this is a great tool just to keep in your Bible as a primer from time to time. Maybe things aren't going as well as you wish, or you can tell some things are, the relationship isn't what it ought to be. Then, men, if you'll pull this out and take a look at it, it will help you to just checklist things and say, am I falling short in any of these areas? Or how can I be better in these areas? And it's just a great resource. So we'll have that available for you on Sunday. Also have yellow ones, and those will be for the women. A woman's or a wife's responsibility towards her husband. And again, 12 biblical responsibilities that you have. And I'll tell you this, if you'll follow God's plan, it produces a good marriage. It does. And so we'll make those things available to you. Now on the back, and this is how I wanted to introduce the message. This is why I brought this. On the back of these is a copy of your wedding vows. And sir, on the back of yours is what you promised to your wife. So let's all of us men just listen to this for a moment and as we introduce the message. Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? Will you love her, honor and keep her in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth? And forsaking all others, keep you only unto her as long as you both shall live. Do you so promise? And then we go to the second part of the vows. If so, repeat after me. I take thee to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and cherish till death do us part. And it's good for every one of us from time to time to go back and remember what we promised to each other. And so, ladies, on the back of yours will be your wedding vows. And again, the devil hates a Christian marriage. The devil hates a biblical marriage. And so from time to time, he's going to launch an attack against your marriage. And so these are the kind of tools that I hope will be helpful to you during that time. Now, men, I want to talk to you tonight. We're going to be very, like I said, husband-specific tonight. And I started with the husbands. We'll finish up Sunday night with the wives, be more wives-specific. But, men, we are to be the leaders of our home. And if we're to be the leaders of our home, we're the ones that ought to initiate the obedience to biblical principles as they pertain to the relationship we have with our wife. And so let's step up and be leaders, okay? I won't go deep into this, but I promise you, you've heard me say it, and I promise you this is true. What is the number one thing that is destroying relationships in the world today? Any relationship. You give me the relationship that's a biblical relationship. What is the number one thing that's destroying that relationship? And folks, it's simply this. As you enter into that relationship, are you more concerned about your rights or your responsibilities? Your rights or your responsibilities? Now, folks, the entire nation of America shifted in the 50s and 60s. And before that, you know what we heard in school, and you know what was always taught and challenged? I mean, every principal that gave a speech in the gymnasium and every politician, you know what they talked about? They talked about civic duties, civic duties. And so that's what we grew up believing, that we lived in the greatest nation in the world. And because of that, we had some duties, some responsibilities that we needed to do to keep it that way. And then all of a sudden, by the way, this has nothing to do with race. It didn't just affect race. Then all of a sudden in the 60s, you start hearing about civil rights. Now think about those two phrases, civic duties or civil rights. Civic duties is talking about our responsibility to our nation. Civil rights is focusing on our perceived rights, what our nation ought to be doing for us. And once we open that door and start going down that, all of a sudden every group, come on, it started out as a race thing. And by the way, there were some things that needed to be fixed, okay? But when we became hyper-focused on rights instead of responsibilities, you know, then all of a sudden, then the women, come on, the 1970s, well, I want my rights, okay? And then, come on, then the gays, they lifted up, well, we want our rights. And even children, well, we want our rights. And then every single workplace, everybody's walking around with signs talking about what people owe them and their rights. Now, folks, we don't understand this. Maybe we do. But that mentality started permeating all of our relationships, even within our family. Okay? So instead of a kid saying, you know what? God's blessed me with good parents. And you know what? I have a duty, a responsibility, giving, according to the Bible, to be the best child I can be from a heart of thankfulness for the mom and dad that God's given me. All of a sudden, it's what do they owe me? This is not a stretch. Come on. We literally have 30-somethings, single people living at home, and they 100% believe it is their mom and dad's responsibility to take care of them. I watched a little video clip of a woman that said, well, I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't have a choice in that. They made that decision. And I mean, I'm talking about a woman in her 30s. So you know what? They owe me. They need to take care of me. They need to pay my bills. They need to see that I can live the type of lifestyle I want to. Now, preacher, it can't be that way. It is that way. It is that way. So in marriage, let's talk about this, men, tonight. Are we focusing in on our rights? Okay, we're looking at our wife, and listen, because I'm married to you, I have a right to expect this and a right to expect that and a right to expect this. Or have you gone to the Word of God and decided that you would see what it says about your responsibilities in that relationship? Every relationship where we have two people focused on their responsibilities instead of their rights, you'll find it's a good relationship. And every relationship where we have one, and sometimes that's the way it is, one is focused on responsibilities, one's focused on rights, or God forbid they're both focused on rights, I can almost guarantee you that marriage is not going to survive. And you know, Jesus said, I didn't come to serve, I came to be served. Jesus said that. If anybody had a right to be served, it should have been the Lord Jesus. But you know, folks, he didn't in that upper room say to the disciples, one of you go get a basin of water, come over here and wash my feet. No, he went and got a basin of water and got down on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. Folks, I promise you what I just said is gold. I promise you that if we would just get back in our marriages to stop worrying about what we think our perceived rights are or where our wife is falling short in her responsibilities to us. I kind of kid, and I usually say this when I pass these out. I said, now the yellow one is for the wives, okay? Gentlemen, you don't need to read that. It's none of your business. This one, ladies, come on, some of you ladies can't wait to get a hold of the blue one, all right? Ladies, this is none of your business, okay? If all you thought when I told you we're going to put those back is I can't wait to get the other one so I can checklist where they're falling short, highlight it, and make sure they understand where they need to improve. Look right up here. We're having fun, but that really is your problem. That is the basis of your marriage problem. And what I found out is I can only control what I can control, and it's my job. I'm not going to answer for her. She's not going to answer for me. I'm going to answer for myself before a holy God. Did I do it? Strive to do everything I could to, you know what, perform my responsibilities and to be obedient to the Bible concerning my responsibilities as a husband. That boy, that'll help you. I want to keep going on that. You know, Whitney Houston went platinum in the 1980s, singing a song, The Greatest Love of All. The Greatest Love of All. By the way, grew up, learned how to sing in a Baptist church. Sang the first time she ever sang in public was in a Baptist church. Now, a girl that's raised in a Baptist church and is going to sing a song called The Greatest Love of All, you know, wouldn't you expect it to be the love that Jesus had for us to die on the cross, or God's love in sending his son? You know, wouldn't it be something like that? The greatest love of all, the words say, is happening inside of you. The greatest love of all is learning to love yourself. It is the greatest love of all. Learning to love yourself. And it went platinum in the 1980s. By the way, look at the 1980s. It's known as the decade of greed. It's known as the decade of selfishness. And so she sings a song like that, and people just embrace it. You know why? Because they think the greatest love. Listen, that is in direct contradiction to the Bible. What does God say is the first and great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. What's the second one? To love your neighbor as yourself. Where is this the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself? Folks, that is pagan. That is heathen. That is wicked. And yet, in Christian marriages, selfishness has creeped into a point where some of them are just being held together by threads. And until you get this and bite into it, you're going to continue to have marriage problems, okay? Selfishness, we mentioned, last Sunday as being the number one problem it is. All right, husband specific. Number one, love your wife. Love your wife. Folks, we're not going to go back, but last Sunday night we went down through and looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I told you I only find one place in the Bible that defines love, but I find a whole bunch of verses that describe love. And do you love your wife? Well, of course I do. Now, before you answer that, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to go back through it. And just go to every one of those. Love is long-suffering, suffereth long, love is kind. And go down through the list and say, is that the kind of love that I give my wife? The Bible says that we're to love our wives. Gentlemen, think about how God set the bar so high. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What a standard to be held to. Man, that's a challenge. Now, folks, we're going to get into this on Sunday night, and I'm going to talk to the ladies about your responsibilities. And, of course, some of those responsibilities are covered in the verses right above verse number 25. But, gentlemen, let me say this. It's a lot easier for a woman to submit to you if you love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay? And so let's take the leadership in this as husbands, and let's love our wives. And so it says that we're to love our wives. Think about this. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then it goes on to say, verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Then verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. So it gives three different standards here. It says, as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. That's the highest standard. As you would love your own body and as you would love your own self. And come on, most of us don't have much trouble loving our own selves and, you know, wanting our way and all of that. And so let's love our wives. You know, one of the things that I read here when I did the vows a second ago, and I think it is a good litmus test for us gentlemen and something we certainly ought to work towards. But it said you gave these vows. If so, repeat after me. I take thee to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love, honor, and cherish. And by the way, that little line there is the only one that's different between the men and the women. The women to love, honor, and obey. The men to love, honor, and cherish. Gentlemen, please listen to me. Oh, good. She's got a promise to obey me. Well, you got a promise to cherish her. And one of the things that I think maybe all of us men ought to sit down and look at our wives and ask and let them be very honest in their answer is, do you feel cherished? You know, that's an amazing word. That's a Bible word, by the way. Do you feel cherished? And what's that word mean? It means to hold in high value. I can remember little Stephanie Pierce, and she started dating this kid named Stephen Studer. So she gave me a call and wanted to talk to me and Cheryl. And, you know, I think most of you understand her home situation, whatever. And she said, you know, preacher, I don't have a dad that believes in biblical principles when it comes to courtship and marriage. And I would love for you and your wife to just be the one that helps guide me through this. I want to get it right. I want to do it right. And so I said, but this boy's asked me out. And I said, well, have him give me a call. And, well, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't need my preacher's involvement. I know. How you doing? How you doing? Some of you need to get over that. That rebellion in your heart, has caused you problems. You know, Matt Harrison, you know why he's married to the person he's married to? He listened to his pastor. You know why he found God's will in the right church? He listened to his pastor. All right, that's free, okay? And she called. And so, you know, next time we got a chance, we went down and met this young man. And I told Stephanie on the phone this. I said, Stephanie, listen, by the way, it's not a matter of your pastor trying to pick your husband or your wife for you. It's another set of eyes that can see some things that sometimes you can't see when you are so emotionally involved. And so I remember telling her on the phone, I said, Stephanie, you are such a dear young lady. And I said, I don't know all that. I'll call his pastor. I'll call his parents. I'll have a talk. By the way, one of the best things to do is have your pastor call the other pastor. Right. They'll share some things with me they won't share with anybody else. But I said this. I said, Stephanie, God has blessed you, and you have made right decisions since you got saved. I said, I don't care who you marry, but I want you to marry somebody that will cherish you. That will cherish you. Okay? Yes, I want him to be godly. Yes, I want him to be in the will of God. But I want her to marry someone. And by the way, Stephen cherishes that girl. He cherishes her. And so let's love our wives. Number two, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's move around our Bible some. 1 Peter chapter 3. I have to pick up the pace a little bit. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look if you will in verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Likewise, chapter 3, 1 Peter verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to, what's the next word? Here's the next thing. Learn your wife. Learn your wife. Love your wife. Learn your wife. Now, it says here that you're to dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay? Then it says giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, this means that you're supposed to learn your wife. It doesn't say to dwell with them according to understanding. And we know that that's true because God would never command a man to do what is impossible, okay? You're not always going to understand her, but it's not necessary that you always understand her. What you need to do is know her. Okay, well, I don't understand why she's this way. Do you know she's that way? Yes, then that's all you needed to know. Stop there. Yeah, but I don't think she ought to be that way. Well, then why don't you spend the next 3 years badgering her about it? That'll build a strong marriage. Or you could dwell with them according to knowledge. And so you learn your wife. I mean, you study your wife and you learn her. Know the things that please her. Know the things that displease her. Know the things that give her security. Understand the things that make her insecure. Know the things that she's good at, and then set her up for success in those areas of her life. Know the things that she struggles with, and then you step up, sir, and be the protector of her in those areas and make sure that she doesn't have to worry about that. It's called making a study of your wife, learning your wife. Okay, number next. Let me say this, and I'll have you go to Matthew chapter number 5. We'll go there, then I'll give you the point, and we'll read some other scripture to you, and then we'll look at Matthew chapter 5. Gentlemen, and I'll be careful because we do have the kids in here, but gentlemen, be 100% faithful to your wife. Now, why do you say be 100% faithful to your wife? Because the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 20, watch this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Chapter 20, verse 14, that's a command, by the way. That's a command. Now, please listen to what I'm going to say. Gentlemen, you know what? The strange women are out there. Let me tell you something I know about strange women. They hate biblical marriages. They hate good marriages. And they love to destroy good marriages. That's just their nature. Okay, so listen to me. You have to understand that. And you know what? Especially you have to be careful during times where maybe you're in a place in your marriage where it's a little rocky. Because isn't it interesting, about the time you're having a kind of a tough stretch in your marriage, all of a sudden the devil just produces an enticer to show up about that time. I mean, come on, the devil knows what he's doing. He's been at this a long time. So be 100% faithful to your wife. It says in verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. It says in verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And then in Matthew chapter number 5, if you look in verse 27 and 28, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. When I talk about 100% faithful, I'm just not talking about the act of adultery. I'm talking about where you keep your mind right up here. Okay, gentlemen. And we have to be understanding, aware that there's things that are now available because of technology that 30 years ago, Brother Nichols, I mean, somebody would have had to go to some sleazy part of a big city and sneak into some type of a hole-in-the-wall store to buy some of this. Now, with a few clicks on your phone, it's there. Okay? And gentlemen, listen to me. This isn't a small sin. This isn't a small sin. Be 100% faithful to your wife. Build accountability into your technology. And by the way, you can do that and still get around it. It's going to come down sooner or later to something called character. Have character. Love your wife enough to never hurt her in this area of her life. And so be 100% faithful to your wife. Now, Proverbs 31, let's go there. And we'll read a few verses about the virtuous woman and the husband's responsibility to a wife who is virtuous. In Proverbs chapter number 31, look if you will at verse number 27, Proverbs 31, verse number 27. I'm just touching a few of these and moving on. Praise your wife for all that she does. Praise your wife for all that she does. Proverbs 31, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, needeth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be, what's the last word?
Praise.
It's very important. That's part of our responsibility, gentlemen, is to praise our wife. And again, most of us have been very, 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 very blessed with the person that God's given us. Nobody in here is married to a perfect wife. So again, if you want to, you can spend your life looking and examining until you find things that are negative or where she falls short, and then you can turn those into a club and beat her up with them all the time. Or you could look at the areas in which God has blessed her and that she worked so hard to take care of the kids and take care of the family and serve the Lord and do things for you. And folks, that ought to be something we praise her about on a regular basis. I mean, brag on your wife. Brag on your wife. I was going to tell the guys the secret, but there's a secret. Okay, but the ladies are here. They'll figure it out anyway. Ladies are too smart to fool. Okay, so, but I always say there's compliments, then there's secondary compliments. And sometimes I'm somewhere and without Cheryl, and they'll ask about her. And I'll spend the next 3 or 4 minutes just bragging. I'll tell them, I won the wife lottery. I mean, you dust for fingerprints, anything I've ever accomplished, my wife's fingerprints on it somewhere. I mean, I'm probably blessed with the best wife that's walking the planet right now. And I'm not just saying that. So I believe that in my heart. You know, she needs to hear me say things like that to her. But sometimes when I say it to about her, especially if a lady is listening, ladies like to take that run and find her and say, you don't believe what your husband said about you. Man alive. You know, and then start saying all this nice stuff. Don't you think that found make her feel good? Girls, you didn't hear that, right? Ladies, you didn't hear that. All right, good. So we'll sneak up on you with that. But man, I think, listen, you get with a bunch of men out in the world, and you know what you find out in the lost world, the workaday place? You get on this subject, and all you do is have them one after another sitting around the circle bashing their wives. Okay, I guess if you're lost and heathen, then go ahead and do that. But man alive, as Christians, we ought to be the exception to that rule. I mean, I have literally had that happen and finally put my hand up and said, man, I sure feel sorry for the rest of you. Because I'm going to tell you something. God blessed me. My wife's the greatest thing outside of salvation. Marrying that young lady right there is the best thing that God ever allowed me to do. And I know that. I mean that. It's true. Amen. I think we ought to give her a round of applause right now. Yes, yeah. I'll be sleeping in the doghouse tonight. But that's all right. It says to do it. I'm just obeying the Bible, honey. Just obeying the Bible. Okay, all right, here we go. Good. All right, number next. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. I'll tell you what, let's wait on that one. Husbands, let's wait on that one, okay? Praise your wife for all that she does. Let me have you go to Colossians chapter 3. I think I'm going to take the one I was going to cover and push it into Sunday morning, Sunday school. Colossians chapter number 3. I think she enjoyed that. I did. I think she enjoyed that. Yeah. I don't think I'm in trouble. It's glad she don't have needles. Synchronized stabbing. I mean, they literally looked at each other and smiled and said, 1, 2, 3. Deep muscle, both arms. My arms are so sore. Yeah, you don't look like you're feeling sorry for me, but I'm going to tell you. See, made me go home, hold my wife and say, I'm glad I married you. And so, all right, Colossians chapter 3, notice if you will, verse number 19, Colossians 3, 19. Husbands, love your wives. There's the command again. But isn't it interesting what it says there? And be not bitter against them. Now, this is something that the Bible warns us as husbands that is a danger in our marriage relationship. If we're not careful, you know what? We can end up allowing a root of bitterness to come into our heart towards our wife. Maybe it's because, you know what? Let me tell you what's a relationship killer. It's having unrealistic expectations. Okay, you know, I got these expectations from my wife. By the way, where are the expectations you have for yourself? Again, we're talking rights versus responsibilities. But you've got all these, you know, expectations, high expectations unrealistic expectations. And if she doesn't live up to all of them, then next thing you know, you just start getting a root of bitterness in your heart about it. And you need to really look, gentlemen, and be careful of that. Beware of that. Your wife's not perfect, but she didn't marry a perfect man either.
Right.
And part of love, what love do? Love covereth a multitude of sins. And you know what? Her love has to cover things in my life, and my love has to cover things in her life, and that's okay. Okay, because we're two imperfect people, watch this, but we're perfect for each other. And I just want to take a sidebar here and talk to young people. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Please listen to what I'm going to say. Your pastors put too much work in. In providing resources and material and doing the proper teaching and training. I mean, you are growing up in the church from that and said into the pastor that wrote Stay in the Castle. And yet we have kids go 18 years underneath that pastor, 7 royal laws of courtship. You can't stand before God and say, well, you know, I just never had a pastor that taught me how to do it right. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so many of the marriage problems in life, listen to me, come as a result of marrying out of the will of God. So why do you think you and Mrs. Ross just get along so well and you just fit so well? Because I waited for God's will. She waited for God's will. I believe with all my heart I married the person that God created for me to marry. That removes so much of the problems in marriage. Now, for you married people are sitting out there, well, I'm not sure I did. And well, he is now.
Right.
She is now.
Yeah.
And by the way, God can give you the grace to make things work and make things. I mean, come on. But I'm not talking to those of you that are married, all right? I don't want to go down that road mentally. I'm talking to these young people that have a clean slate and you can do it right and you need to do it right and you should do it right. And wait, be patient. Don't get ahead of God, okay?
Right.
And so guard your heart against bitterness. All right, 2 more will be done. Lovingly and gently lead your wife and children. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Lovingly and gently lead your wife and children. Be the spiritual leader of your home. Joshua stood up and said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He didn't apologize for being the leader. He took on that mantle of responsibility. You'll only be able to do this, listen to me, if you have a consistent, meaningful walk with God. And when we talk about original intent, we'll cover some of this. But, you know, listen, here's a husband, and he wants his wife to be submissive to him, but he's not submissive to God. And so you've got then in some families, you've got a husband that's not submissive to God, a wife's not submissive to her husband, and then they wonder why the children live in rebellion.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, gentlemen, it starts with us.
Right.
Sorry, it doesn't start with her. It starts with us. And so what we've got to do is make sure our relationship with the Lord is right and good and keep that very sacred and that we submit ourselves unto God. And then, you know what, we will be in a better position to lead our family, our family as a spiritual leader. Let me go to Titus chapter 2. And cover this last one, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2 is a gold mine, by the way. I think we'll get back to that in my book on 21 Tenets of Masculinity and Femininity. I go pretty deeply into Titus chapter 2, and it's super important. Titus chapter 2, if you will, look if you will on verse number one, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. We'll say this and we'll be done. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their wives. And then it goes on to verse 5, to be discreet, chaste. This is what I want you to see. What's the next phrase after chaste? Keepers at home. Keepers at home. Keepers at home. Okay, give your wife the treasure of being a stay-at-home mom. Give your wife the treasure of being a stay-at-home mom. Now, I want to say this because that doesn't mean, ma'am, that there aren't ways for you to be able to help contribute to the family financially. If you'll read Proverbs chapter 31, you know what? You can see that I think a lot of this virtuous woman figured out a way to be a stay-at-home entrepreneur. And so, but especially wives, when the children are small, I understand when you get them all in school later on, you may have a little more flexibility. But when the kids are young, and you know what? Just the Bible says here, keepers at home. Keepers at home. And the older women are to be teaching the younger women this, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So gift your wife the treasure being a stay-at-home mom. Now, preacher, we can't make it on just one income. Look right up here. Yes, you can.
Right.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You say, no, I can't. If you sit down with me, the job I have, and I make a certain, okay, stop. Then get a different job.
Amen. Amen.
Then get a different job. Okay? You can. Well, I can't find one that's a high-paying job. Then you might have to get a little more education. I mean, things are so, come on, honestly, things are so easy to do now. You can do online courses, online classes. And you know what? You can get some, come on, pieces of paper that will open doors for you to get higher paying jobs. Now, if you want to, just make excuses the rest of your life. But I'm just, you know, I didn't write this, okay? And I know the culture don't believe it anymore. But the Bible says this, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home. And so and the nation was a better nation, a stronger nation, when mamas were home raising the kids. And it's not the daycare's responsibility to raise your children. It's not the daycare's responsibility to raise your children. Take it a step farther. It's not grandma and grandpa's responsibility to raise your children. They raised their children. And so, most of them stayed at home and did it. And so they're in a different time of life. Don't play that card, put them on a guilt trip and create that situation, because that's not right. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your watch care over us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we, Lord, spend this time focusing on marriage, looking at the Bible principles, and then, Lord, use these things to help us to have a marriage that brings honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.